Have you ever clicked that delete account button on a website and you watch that little loading circle spin for a second and you just trust that your data actually disappeared into the void?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we all do it. You get that little green check mark, right? That polite little pop-up saying, your account has been successfully removed. And you just feel this immense sense of relief. It feels like, well, a clean slate.
Exactly. It's like this digital placebo. We just assume that clicking delete acts like tossing our files into an industrial shredder. But back in 2015, 37 million people discovered that the button was nothing more than an illusion.
Yeah, a polite request that just got completely ignored.
Completely.
Oh.
So today we're doing a deep dive into a massive stack of research from Tech and Game. We're analyzing the July 2015 Ashley Madison cyber breach. And for those of you who track this stuff, this is universally considered the single most devastating privacy collapse in internet history.
And, you know, the sheer scale of it is still just hard to wrap your head around, even all these years later. We are talking about over 60 gigabytes of unencrypted database archives dumped straight onto the open internet.
Just massive.
Right. But if you're picturing me sitting here, like analyzing firewall logs and server racks, you're missing the bigger picture. My core thesis for our discussion today is that this incident proved, once and for all, that cybersecurity isn't just about protecting IT assets. It is fundamentally about safeguarding human lives and human dignity.
Well, okay, let's unpack this. Because to really grasp that human fallout, we can't just look at the code. We have to look at the incredibly intense, really unusual way this attack actually began.
Definitely.
It wasn't a quiet smash and grab. It started with an anonymous hacker collective calling themselves the Impact Team. And the crazy part, they didn't want money.
Right, which is so rare. In July of 2015, this group managed to gain unauthorized admin access to the core database infrastructure of Avid Life Media. That's the parent company of Ashley Madison.
Right, the parent company.
Yeah. And in a typical cyber cartel scenario, the hackers, you know, they encrypt your files and they demand a multi-million dollar ransom in Bitcoin to give them back. But the Impact Team issued a strict non-negotiable ultimatum. They demanded the immediate and permanent shutdown of Ashley Madison, along with its sister platform, Established Men.
And their motive was entirely ideological. I mean, Ashley Madison's whole business model was built around facilitating extramarital affairs. Their famous slogan was literally, "Life is short, have an affair."
Yeah.
So the Impact Team cited severe moral objections to this, but they also alleged that the company was running this massive deception on its own users. They claimed the demographics were entirely fabricated.
Precisely. They essentially accused Avid Life Media of running a fraudulent operation. So the Impact Team gave corporate executives this window of time to voluntarily shut the sites down. And Avid Life Media refused to comply.
They called their bluff.
They basically called the hackers' bluff, but it wasn't a bluff.
No, it really wasn't. So August 2015 hits, and the hackers execute the threat. They take this massive compressed file, over 60 gigabytes of data, and they drop it onto the Tor network, the dark web.
Just threw it out there.
Yeah, and to be clear to you listening, this wasn't just a list of anonymous usernames. This dump contained real names, residential addresses, incredibly detailed credit card transaction histories, postal codes, and raw, entirely unencrypted chat logs belonging to 37 million registered users.
It was a total unmitigated excavation of the company's servers. Every secret, every transaction just laid completely bare for the world to see.
I'm trying to picture the real-world equivalent of this, because it's not like a quiet bank robbery in the dead of night where the money just vanishes from a ledger, you know?
Right, no.
This is like a bank robber breaking into the vault, loading everyone's private safety deposit boxes into a massive dump truck, driving it in the middle of the town square,
Yeah.
and just emptying it out for anyone passing by to rummage through.
That's a really great way to visualize it. And what's fascinating here is the mechanics of hacktivism.
Activism, right.
Yeah, that's the industry term for cyber attacks driven by political, social, or ethical motivations rather than pure financial gain. When a hacker just wants money, they operate in the shadows, right? They want to stay quiet so they can get paid.
Get in, get out.
Exactly. But a hacktivist wants maximum visibility. They want to inflict maximum reputational and structural damage. That underlying motivation is what made this attack far more volatile and dangerous than a standard financial heist.
So they weren't trying to profit off the data at all. They were weaponizing the data to destroy the company.
Yep.
But let's dig into why they were so uniquely angry. The Impact Team claimed they were exposing corporate deception. And according to this Tekken research, there was one specific feature the company sold that turned out to be a complete undeniable lie.
Yes, the infamous $19 full delete feature.
This part is just mind-blowing to me.
Oh, it's wild.
Ashley Madison heavily marketed this paid service.
Mm-hmm.
For $19, they guaranteed users a 100% wipe of their entire account history. They promised in their marketing to purge all records, all private messages, all photos, and all billing details from the company servers.
So the pitch was, if you get cold feet, you pay the fee, and poof, you never existed.
Right.
Except the forensic truth uncovered post-breach revealed that this feature was a complete fraud. When security researchers began analyzing the leaked 60 gigabyte database on the dark web, they found all of it.
Everything.
Everything. Despite taking millions of dollars in user fees for this specific deletion service, Avid Life Media had failed to scrub the credit card details. They kept the real names. They kept the billing addresses. They were retaining financial records indefinitely, even for the users who paid to have them destroyed.
Wait, hold on. I need to push back on this a little. If they're explicitly selling a premium digital shredding service, how does any internal accounting or compliance team look at that and say, yeah, let's just keep the data?
It's hard to believe.
Right. It's like paying a premium document shredding company that takes your money and then just stores your unshredded tax returns in a clear glass box in their front lobby. How does a corporate entity justify that internally?
Well, it really comes down to the actual mechanism of how databases handle information. Mm-hmm. Specifically, a technical practice called soft deletion versus permanent file destruction.
Okay, what is a soft deletion?
Think of a database like a giant Excel spreadsheet. When you click delete on your user dashboard, the system doesn't actually go into the hard drive and overwrite your row of data with zeros and ones.
Okay.
Instead, it just changes a tiny flag in a hidden column next to your name from active to inactive.
So to the user interface, the front end, it looks like the data is gone. You can't log in anymore.
Exactly. But on the back end, it hasn't gone anywhere. It's just archived in an inactive table. Avid Life Media likely kept the data for their own internal accounting, chargeback disputes, and revenue tracking.
Wow.
Yeah, they prioritize their own audit trails and business convenience over the explicit privacy promises they made to their users.
So they chose their own convenience over their users' safety, while literally charging the users for the privilege.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the tech and marketing versus reality matrix highlights another massive deception that the impact team exposed. Ashley Madison marketed itself as having millions of active, real female profiles.
Yeah.
But the hackers revealed this was almost entirely a mirage.
A total illusion.
The company was deploying widespread automated chatbots, software programs designed to mimic human conversation, to deceive male users into thinking they were talking to real women, purely to keep them paying subscription fees.
It was the house of cards built entirely on deceptive trade practices. And the foundational lesson here, which industry regulators still cite heavily today, is that privacy cannot be monetized as a premium add-on product, while basic underlying security is entirely neglected.
Right. You can't sell safety if the house is falling down.
Exactly. You cannot sell a discretion package when your core infrastructure is fundamentally compromised.
Which makes perfect sense. I mean, if a company is cutting corners that drastically on the features they're actually charging money for and they're running bots to fake their user base, it stands to reason their underlying IT infrastructure was a total mess too.
Oh, it was.
And according to the tech and analysis, it absolutely was. The forensic teardown identified four fatal technical vulnerabilities that essentially handed the keys over to the hackers. Let's walk through exactly how this system failed.
Sure. So the first major vulnerability was incredibly weak password hashing. They were using unsalted bycrypt configurations, which left the user passwords highly vulnerable to rapid offline cracking.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because I hear unsalted bycrypt and it sounds like a bad breakfast order to me. What does that actually mean?
Fair enough. Look, break down how passwords should be stored. You never want to store a password in plain text. You use a process called hashing.
Okay.
Hashing a password is like putting it through a mathematical meat grinder. If your password is the word apple, the grinder spits out a long scrambled string of random letters and numbers.
Got it.
And you can't put the ground meat back together to figure out it was an apple. It's a one-way street.
Okay, so if it's a one-way street, how do hackers crack it?
Because hackers have pre-made dictionaries called rainbow tables of millions of common passwords that they have already run through the same meat grinder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they just compare their pile of ground meat to your pile of ground meat. If they match, they know your password was apple or 123456.
Ah, I see. So where does the salt come in?
Assault is a random string of unique characters that the system automatically adds to your password before it goes into the meat grinder.
Wait.
So even if you and I both have the password Apple, your salt might be XYZ and my salt might be ABC. The grinder produces two totally different piles of meat. It makes those pre-made hacker dictionaries completely useless.
But Ashley Madison didn't do that.
No, Ashley Madison didn't use Assault. They just put the raw passwords through the grinder, so the hackers were able to crack millions of them almost instantly.
That is wild. It's such a simple step to skip with just catastrophic results.
Right.
Okay, what was the second fatal flaw?
The total failure to de-identify financial transactions. As we discussed with the fake delete button, they retained real names, billing addresses, and payment data in raw, readable plain text. There was no separation between the payment system and the identity system.
Unbelievable. And the third vulnerability.
They were storing the metadata of private messaging entirely unencrypted across their MySQL database tables.
Okay, I hear MySQL and metadata, and my eyes kind of glaze over. What's that actually mean in the context of someone's private messages?
Well, MySQL is just the type of database software they used. Metadata is the data out the data.
The data about the data.
Yeah. It's not necessarily the content of the message itself, but the records of who sent a message to whom, at what exact time, and from what IP address.
Oh, I see.
Even if you don't have the message content, having the unencrypted metadata proves that user A was actively communicating with user B on this specific date. In the context of an infidelity website, that metadata alone is incredibly damaging, and they left it completely unencrypted.
Which brings us to the fourth vulnerability. The Tech and Report notes a complete absence of zero trust access controls within their internal corporate network.
Yes. And this is the flaw that really allowed the whole thing to happen.
How does zero trust work? Or, I guess in this case, how does the lack of it work?
The old model of network security is the castle and moat approach. You build a really strong firewall, the moat, to keep people out. But once someone crosses the moat and gets inside the castle, the system assumes they belong there.
They just have free rein.
Exactly. They have the keys to every room. Zero trust is the modern approach. It's like a high security hotel key card system. Just because you got through the front doors into the lobby doesn't mean you can get into the elevator. And even if you get into the elevator, you have to swipe again to go to a specific floor and swipe again to enter a specific room. Zero trust means treating every single internal request as hostile, requiring re-verification at every single layer.
So combining all four of these flaws, I mean, this is almost comical if it weren't so tragic, having unsalted passwords, but leaving the actual financial info and the messaging metadata totally unencrypted,
yeah,
without any internal security doors.
Yeah.
It's literally like locking your front door with a flimsy piece of string,
yeah,
but leaving your actual safe wide open with a neon sign pointing to it because they had no zero trust. Once the hackers got past that initial perimeter, the network just blindly trusted them.
Trusted them completely.
They were allowed to initiate a raw extraction of the entire database without the system ever pausing to ask, hey, should this user account be downloading 60 gigabytes of data right now?
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, contrast those 2015 failures with modern necessities like transparent data encryption or TDE. With TDE, the database files themselves are encrypted at rest. Meaning, even if a hacker bypasses the network security and steals the physical hard drive or downloads the raw database files, they just get a scrambled mess of unreadable characters.
Because they don't have a key.
Exactly. Because they don't have the master decryption key, the raw files are useless. Avid Life Media didn't have that. They just had raw, readable, highly sensitive human secrets sitting there waiting to be copied.
And a vulnerable database isn't just an IT headache for the server admins. Because when you mix raw, plain text human secrets with complete unrestricted public exposure on the dark web, you immediately transition from a technical architecture failure to a massive real-world tragedy.
And that transition happened incredibly fast. By September of 2015, the societal fallout was in full swing.
Once that 60 gigabyte archive was live on the Tor network, malicious actors all over the world just started downloading it, and they immediately launched widespread email blackmail campaigns, which security researchers referred to as sextortion.
It was ruthless.
They took the plaintext emails, the billing names, the chat logs, and they emailed the Ashley Madison users directly.
Yeah, the extortionists were demanding Bitcoin ransoms. The threat was explicit. Pay up, or we will email your spouse, your employer, and your entire social network concrete proof of your activity on this site.
The distress it caused is hard to overstate. I mean, it ruined professional careers. It destroyed thousands of marriages across the globe. And most tragically, it led to at least two confirmed suicides linked directly to the public shaming and the extortion.
Just devastating.
It's incredibly bleak. But for you listening who might be thinking, well, surely after all this time, the internet has moved on or international authorities have scrubbed this data. Is it even possible to erase this from the dark web? Or is this literally a permanent digital tattoo?
It is, unfortunately, a permanent digital tattoo. Security researchers observe that it is a perpetual threat. Threat actors today, right now, are still scraping this historical data from 2015 to launch targeted spear phishing campaigns.
Wait, how does that work? How do they use old data to hack someone today?
It's used for highly personalized social engineering. If a hacker wants to breach a specific company today, they might look up the company's executives in the Ashley Madison database.
Oh, wow.
If they find a match, they now have a psychological lever. They can craft a highly convincing phishing email that references that old data to panic the executive into clicking a malicious link.
That is terrifying.
The cyber intelligence firm Cyberint put it perfectly in their case study of this event. They said, once sensitive data is collected, it becomes a permanent liability. You cannot unring the bell.
No going back.
Once data is decentralized and copied across the dark web, no law enforcement agency on Earth has the power to delete it from every server.
Because you can't reverse that human damage. Governments realized they had to step in before the breaches actually happened. You couldn't just sweep 37 million compromised lives under the rug. This triggered some massive legal reckonings.
Yes, the financial penalties were significant, though many advocates argue they were a drop in the bucket compared to the damage done. In December 2016, the FTC issued a $1.6 million fine, specifically targeting the deceptive full-delete false marketing claims.
Good.
Then, in July 2017, a federal court approved an $11.2 million class action lawsuit settlement for the victims.
And just to close the loop on the perpetrators, the hackers of the Impact Team were never apprehended, were they?
No, they weren't. They vanished back into the anonymity of the web, leaving the company and the users to deal with the wreckage. But, you know, this incident directly accelerated a massive industry shift.
How so?
Market sentiment analysis confirms that the Ashley Madison fallout was a major catalyst for the enactment of strict data minimization regulations globally. It heavily influenced the environment that led to the GDPR in Europe.
Regulators finally looked at companies and said, you cannot hoard toxic data indefinitely. So if the FTC and GDPR are telling companies they have to change, how is a modern enterprise actually supposed to build a system that doesn't repeat this 2015 nightmare? The Tikkun research outlines what they call an enterprise defense matrix.
Yes, there are four critical pillars in this modern defense matrix that companies now absolutely must use. The first is automated data purging or auto scrubbing.
Okay, what does that entail?
This means setting strict, hard-coded limits on data retention at the architectural level. After a set period of inactivity or when a user clicks delete, the system doesn't just change an active flag. It automatically and permanently overwrites and destroys the record.
Hey, hold on. Data is the new oil is the prevailing mantra of Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. You're telling me companies are being told to voluntarily delete their most valuable historical analytics. How do you convince a marketing executive or a revenue officer to agree to that?
It's a tough conversation because marketing teams absolutely hate it. They want to track user behavior forever. But security teams argue that it drastically reduces liability. If you don't have the data, it can't be stolen, and you can't be sued for losing it. It's a calculated risk assessment.
Okay, that makes sense. Less liability, what's the second pillar?
We touched on it earlier, transparent data encryption, or TDE. This ensures that all database files are encrypted at rest. It prevents raw plain text extraction.
Right.
It does add a slight compute overhead for the servers. It takes processing power to constantly encrypt and decrypt data on the fly. But in today's threat landscape, it is non-negotiable.
And a third.
Mandatory multi-factor authentication, or MFA.
Ah, the classic enter the six-digit code sent to your phone step.
Exactly. It prevents account takeovers. Even if a user's password leaks in a different breach and a hacker tries to use it, they can't get in without that secondary physical device.
Gotcha.
And the fourth pillar is payment tokenization. This means implementing a strict policy of zero local payment storage.
How does tokenization work in practice? If I buy something, doesn't the company need my credit card?
Actually, no. Think of tokenization like a coat check at a restaurant. You hand the attendant your expensive coat, your credit card. They hand you back a little numbered paper ticket, the token.
Right.
The restaurant's database only ever stores the paper ticket. When they need to charge you, they send that ticket to a third-party payment gateway like Stripe or PayPal, who holds the actual card in a highly secure digital vault.
So if a hacker breaches the restaurant's database, all they find is a pile of paper coat check tickets.
Exactly. And those tickets are completely useless outside of that specific restaurant system. They can't be used to buy things anywhere else. It completely eliminates the risk of storing real credit cards locally.
So what does this all mean? If I'm synthesizing all of this correctly, this entire concept of data minimization is essentially like deciding not to keep a spare house key hidden under your doormat.
That's right.
If the key physically doesn't exist, a burglar can't possibly find it to break into your house.
Yeah.
You are removing the target entirely.
That is the perfect analogy. You cannot lose what you do not have. And this raises an important question for you listening to this right now. How many current apps are sitting on your phone, retaining your location data, your private messages, and your financial history indefinitely under completely unverified promises of discretion?
It's a terrifying thought when you really pause to consider it. Which brings us to the ultimate lesson synthesized by the Tekken editorial board at the end of their report.
The editorial board makes it incredibly clear. Data minimization is a fundamental necessity in the modern era, not a marketing feature. Any company's promise of discretion or privacy is totally meaningless without multi-layered, verifiable security architecture backing it up.
Because as we've learned, once the data's out there, the real-world consequences are irreversible. The only durable defenses we have are demanding corporate discipline and being incredibly cautious about our personal data sharing in the first place.
You have to assume that any data you hand over could eventually become public.
Exactly. The trust has to be earned through architecture, not just assumed because a button says secure, right? So we want to leave you with a final thought to mull over today. Think back to that satisfying feeling of clicking delete. If a $19 delete button was nothing more than a placebo back in 2015, ask yourself this. When you hit delete account on your favorite social media app today, is your data truly vanishing into the ether?
Or is it just being quietly moved to a dark, inactive server somewhere, just waiting for the next impact team to come along?
It really is a sobering thought. Keep questioning the systems you interact with, demand better security, and as always, we'd love to hear your insights on enterprise security and data privacy. Until next time.